at 1.26% single exit price SEP increase for medicines and scheduled substances in December last year. The slowest SEP increase in a decade. Yeah, this is the lowest actually in a decade. Second only to 2011, which saw no increase at all, comes amid growing utility costs and a depreciating rand value, and could see several packs, several players exit the market. Yeah, it's becoming quite tricky for pharmaceuticals, and I know a few of my friends who are pharmacists as well who said it just becomes quite difficult to run your own private practice. So many of them have gone back to being employed, so it's going to be difficult. So we're going to be speaking now to CEO of Pharma Dynamics, Eric Roos, about this. Welcome, Eric, and thank you so much for making the time to speak to us here on the show.
Good evening. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for making time.
No, I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I am doing well. You have concerns over the single exit price for medicines and scheduled substances. What are those?
Yeah, I think first of all, it came as a shock that we only been granted a 1.26% single exit price. For the public that might know, the price increases in South Africa is regulated by the Department of Health. So they use certain formulas, taking inflation and exchange rate into consideration, and then they grant you a price increase once per year, which is regulated. So we were very surprised to only receive a dismal increase of 1.26%. If you just look at all the supporting healthcare players in South Africa, they usually at an inflationary level increases. If you look at the medical aids, mm-hmm. all the other players in the industry will usually take at least inflation rates per annum for increases. So we're falling behind as a pharmaceutical industry. In the last decade, the average increases granted by the DOH has always been under inflation.
And I think that is going to be a real issue. I think, I mean, I don't know if you were listening to me, I've got a few friends of mine who are also pharmacists who ran their own private practices and had their own pharmacists, and they were saying it's proving even more and more difficult to actually run your own pharmacy because of just the prices and how difficult it is.
Yeah, I think in a private healthcare market in South Africa, your pharmacists are also only allowed to claim a dispensing fee on medicine. Mm. There's no markup granted on medicine. Under 100 Rand, they use a small percentage markup, and cost above 100 Rand for a product, as an example, they're only allowed to claim a set dispensing fee.
Mm.
So if the increase is granted to the industry continues to be low, where they can still make a small markup, that doesn't help, it's irrelevant. But I think the biggest problem for the pharma industry, or the challenge, is we all have a vision of the imminent national health, the NHI, that's busy evolving in South Africa. You want to bring more products to market, make it more affordable. We're sensitive to that. But at the same time, to acquire these new product dossiers from a pharmaceutical perspective, to keep on investing in future products that we need to bring to the country, affordable, high-quality medicine for the population, that becomes a problem for the pharma industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky. And how do you foresee that this is gonna impact the pharmaceuticals and the pharma industry as it stands now? What do you foresee is going to happen?
I think in the short term, if you look at data provided by IMS, that's a auditing company, a global auditing company providing data to the pharmaceutical industry, over the last 6 years, more than 700 mm-hmm. pharmaceutical products were pulled from the market in South Africa alone. And most of those products are being pulled from the market due to unsustainable profitability.
Mm-hmm.
If that continues, you'll get less and less players, international companies especially, investing in South Africa to build infrastructure, to support our NHI with local manufacturing potential in the long term. So from a foreign investment perspective, I think if the red light is on for our industry. The pharmaceutical industry employs more than 12,000 people.
So job losses, you think losses
might be on the card.
Sure.
And I think certain companies will consolidate more and maybe just limit their footprint in South Africa if this continues, because it's been coming for more than a decade. So from an investment perspective and a longevity and long-term investment platform, it is a bit of a risk at this stage.
And do you foresee that maybe this there's a correct term for it? There's the original, and then what do they call the other one? Generic.
Yeah, I mean, a generic.
Are we going to see an increase in generics now because of this as well?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Pharmadynamics, our company, is a generic player in South Africa.
Mm.
On average, our products are more effective than originators, at least 40 to 60%. But still, we import the raw materials similar to your branded products.
Mm.
If you look at the South African market, 70% of all products used in South Africa is imported, both generic and originator products.
Yeah.
So your fluctuations in the local currency, plus your increased shipping costs, etc., increases year on year.
Mm.
And with this low increases that's being granted, you fall behind to really sustain a model at this stage that's an importation model and then commercialized in South Africa.
Sure. And what happens if there's an exodus of the industry players altogether?
I think it won't affect the healthcare immediately because there's quite a substantial number of players. But I think what's assisting the current healthcare structure, there's a lot of competitiveness from a pricing perspective. Companies fighting for market share or competing for certain market shares in different therapeutic areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think if certain companies pull out, obviously there will be lesser players, so your pricing model might not be as competitive. In other words, products might get more expensive for those companies remaining to sustain their livelihood. That's one of the scenarios and one of the risks. And then the fact is that a lot of companies like Pharmadynamics, we invest a lot of CSI, corporate social investment funds,
mm-hmm.
in previously disadvantaged areas, in non-metropolitan areas, to really empower patients, support your healthcare practitioners to sustain a good healthcare system. So that might also come under threat should certain players withdraw from the country.
Mm. And I mean, one of the other things that always impacts an industry when something like this happens is obviously you have a lot of people who want to become pharmacists who... Are we going to see a decline in people that choose to go and study pharmacy now?
I don't think so. I think there will always be a need for pharmacists in the private and the government sector and the national healthcare that's on the cards in the coming years. There will always be a need. But obviously, that model needs to be sustainable. And our view from Pharmadynamics in conversations with the DOH has always been to look at it as a holistic collective structure, supporting each other throughout the healthcare chain. Yes, there's challenges, I think, in all industries currently across the world, not only in South Africa. So I don't think it's a dying profession, but it's sure going to be limited. If you look at a consolidation also happening in the pharmaceutical world, with your corporate pharmacies growing rapidly and your independent pharmacies getting lesser and fewer, maybe not the same number of jobs in future, but it will always remain as an option.
Mm. And one, I don't know what the latest stats are, but a few, let's say 2 years ago, there was a study that was done which showed that especially high-pressured executives and high flyers take a lot of medication, that we've become a pill-popping society, that everything, we've got a headache, you want to take a pill, you know, you don't just want to drink water and see if it goes away. For every single niggling thing, we want to take pills and medication. Is that something that is still on the rise? Is that something that you still see happening?
If you look at various therapeutic areas, I mean, the example you used on the central nervous system, antidepressants, anti-epileptics, the whole CNS field, it is a growing market, probably due to some stresses in life across all industries. But I think the additional benefit that you see from the pharmaceutical world is the corporate social investments that I mentioned earlier. A company like Pharmadynamics, we invest in quite a bit of support programs. Let's Talk is a mental health platform that we invest in to support depression patients. We support a police hotline, trauma patients and trauma workers to cope with these daily stresses. So it's not all about medication. I think in a way the pharmaceutical industry has evolved to invest in value-add initiatives, not only medicine, to cope with these stresses and these problems in life. So it's more holistic approach these days than just purely drugs. But to make that model sustainable, which we're now talking about, you need to at least have a model that's sustainable from a survival perspective in future, to keep on bringing much-needed medicine, but also to invest in these initiatives, because not a lot of other industries or independent organizations invest in these support initiatives. It's mainly the pharmaceutical industry. It evolved over years as a value add in different therapeutic areas to support these patients. And it's across the board, not just mental health. It's cardiovascular diseases with selected diet and nutritional advice. If you look at the big players in asthma, they do a lot of asthma clinics to educate the population on using their devices. So the industry is much broader than just selling pills. It's becoming a more holistic approach to looking after the population.
Mm. And also the rise in indigenous medication and more less science, if I could say, scientific forms of medicine, but more like grass and using herbs. What are your views on that? And has the pharmaceutical industry tried to partner with the people, homeopaths and all these people that come up with indigenous medicine? Have you guys tried to partner with them to find ways of working together for the good?
Currently, it's still separate industries or separate focus areas. Mm. If you look at your complementary medicine market, which is non-regulated and unscheduled at this stage, it is a growing market. It's for many patients and many people the first stop to look after their health care, to try and seek some sort of treatment and advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's non-scheduled, it's easy accessible, but the South African Health SAHPRA, which is the new regulatory body that's taking over from the MCC, they will definitely start to regulate that market as well to protect the patients, because a lot of those products that you see coming to market is not always registered and the science behind it is not always proven.
Hmm.
There's a lot of claims on those products that's not scientifically proven that can really have effect on the treatment regime. So certainly some of those product regimes are effective, but the new regulatory body, SAHPRA, will definitely start regulating that industry from 2019 as well.
Hmm. But if you think about it, especially if you think about the whole drive about making sure that healthcare becomes affordable, and part of healthcare is the medication side and the dispensing side of things. Wouldn't there be better ways of working together to say, how else can people find ways of medication without necessarily always going for a dispensing point? I know, based on what you do for a business, that might go against your grain and what you should be saying. But if we think about affordable health and dispensing, couldn't there be an opportunity for these two to work better together, to come up with better ways for people to be able to medicate themselves without necessarily having to buy very, very expensive medicine over the counter?
Yeah, I agree with you. There's definitely some touch points. There's a lot of supportive supplementation on various disease entities that's being diagnosed with the right and vitamin supplementation or additional food supplements, it definitely plays a role. So I think there's already a move. We saw that in the U.S. market as well. We there is a lot of incentives being granted to healthcare practitioners to keep people healthy instead of just treating the whole time. So yes, there's definitely a place for that holistic approach, and I think it is an evolving market in South Africa. That's why certain pharmaceutical companies are investing in complementary medicines and more into the OTC market. But yeah, it's a market that needs to be regulated. I support that. Because you also don't want to fly-by-night guys just bringing product to market that's not being proven, that it's not being manufactured in the right environment that's really acceptable from a consumer perspective. You know what I'm saying? You need to really, the quality and the standards and the efficacy needs to be proven. Then I support a holistic approach between these industries, correct?
Yeah. I think this one is just my curiosity. I've always just been curious. What is it in pills and things like that becomes addictive? What is there? Is there a substance in there that causes people to become addicted to pills?
I don't think it's about addictiveness. I think once you're on a proper treatment regime and it works for you and you've been correctly diagnosed, it is a life-saving treatment regime, and the pharmaceutical product being used at the right place with the right indication of the proper diagnosis is the way to go. It's been proven over and over. Obviously, with certain products, there might be misusage. If you look at your pain market, where a lot of pain products are being misused, obviously, not taking the right dosages of certain medication might give you an effect of euphoria and you might get addicted. I think that's why it's so important to regulate products that comes to market, to have proper trained pharmacists in our value chain and of course the doctors. And I think that's where the pharmaceutical industry is playing a vital role in educating the doctor on side effects and effectiveness of the various products that we bring to market and that's really available.
But Eric, you do acknowledge that there is addiction. People do get addicted to pills.
Yeah, it's probably not acknowledge it, but if a patient is allowed to misuse certain products and if a pharmacist is not obliging to the rules of dispensing products that are not allowed to be dispensed, then you might see that happening as in anything in the world. You know, if it's not regulated and not well controlled, there might be misusage of that.
Mm. Okay, what have you seen in response besides what we've discussed already? What have you seen from your colleagues in other businesses, other people? What has been the response to this? Obviously, I'm sure we've discussed it, but what is the general response?
I think the general response to this low price increase that we received for 2018, there's major concern. Obviously, as an industry, we will hold hands and collectively we will approach the DOH and try and negotiate and put our case to them. That's what we do through various representative bodies in the industry to just understand the mechanism that they've used and maybe to motivate for further to ensure that it's a sustainable model going forward. Because I do see this as a partnership at the end of the day. Between the Department of Health, the local private pharmaceutical industry, and the future. I mean, the future is all about national health care, national health insurance, and we all need to hold hands and collectively work on a model that's sustainable because ultimately it's about the patient and the population in South Africa that you want to service and make sure they get affordable, high-quality medicine.
Mm. Thank you so much, Eric, for making the time to speak to us. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. Keep well.
Bye.